Please be seated. Welcome, welcome to the third Sunday of Advent. We refer to this Sunday as the Stir It Up Sunday. Stir It Up Sunday. We began with those words at the opening collect. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great humility come among us. Then we heard from the prophet Zephaniah describing what it is when God comes. Some of the things this prophet says is when God's coming, it looks like saving the lame, gathering the outcast, changing their shame into praise, restoring their fortunes on the face of the earth. It will feel like God is bringing us home. It's a good recipe for stirring it up. Tending to the poor, changing shame into praise. It's certainly good news to those who are hurting, but it's not universally happy news to the private insurers and those already with the power. And John the Baptist describes the coming of God similarly. He gives examples of sharing your coat, your food, taking only what you need to tip the power scales toward love and away from fear. So it turns out, just in the scriptures this morning, that the coming of God guarantees a stir of stuff enough that some people will be in some seriously hot water. Prophets found it so. When they preached liberation to a captive Israel, Jesus, he found it so. Do you remember when he gave his first sermon ever? What did he preach? He preached from the prophet Isaiah these words. And how was Jesus, this, you know, local boy come home to his home parish in our home synagogue in Nazareth, how was he received when he preached the words? There was literally an enraged mob that tried to throw him over a cliff. And then there's John, the voice crying out in the wilderness that we've been talking a lot about. He has stirred things up so much that the temple leaders, the emissaries, the priests, the Levites, the IRS agents shame him. By whose authority do you preach this message? Who are you to preach repentance in such a hard year? So it seems to be that this is the point of walking the way of God, following God, letting God come into our world, into our very lives, guarantees to stir things up. You know, I spend a decent amount of my week meeting with parishioners, you know, talking about struggles that they're having, the joys that are happening in their lives. And the very most common conversation I have with people, the thing I hear the most frequently, is a conversation that goes something like, I know what I want to do, I know what I believe, but I just can't do it, right? That's a conversation I have a lot. It's a conversation I personally face a lot that I have with my God. I know what I want. I think I know what I want. I feel, but I just don't do it. And for me, the fact that John the Baptist somehow follows that yearning that I think we all have as humans to think and to do and to feel something that we want, to be in relationships that we want, but we somehow just can't quite do them. That yearning, John the Baptist leans into. It's that yearning that people will travel to the Jordan River to be baptized. Pretty much John was saying, let this water wash over your body, to ritually cleanse you from your sin. John the Baptist sensed that there was a yearning for a better life, a better way of living together. And he helped give people rituals, actions to address this yearning that we have. In this Advent of 2021, I think it's time to embrace our yearnings. We yearn for a better way of living. We yearn to be faithful, to be restored to one another, to be restored to God, to be restored to ourselves. To welcome God into our life, we want that. And that means that if we are going to welcome God into our daily, weekly intentions, that God is going to come smack up against some very well-curated habits we have, and some biases, and some massaged egos, and maybe my favorite, avoidance. It is a hard-won path hacked through the wilderness of our souls. And I think it's hard to address what we're thinking and feeling about ourselves and each other and God, because a lot gets in the way. Fear, hatred, jealousy, bigotry. But if we really, really want Christ to come in, we have to allow ourselves to be stirred up. Some of you have reminded me of a previous rector here who had a common saying, a past rector, Father Poland. He used to say that he himself was a spiritual insurance salesman. It's pretty right on, isn't it? Right? Because selling spirituality is something that we all can actually depend on for the entirety of our lives and beyond. It's true. It's true that there's no disconnect between what we're thinking and talking about, how we feel on a Sunday morning, than what we do every other second of every other day in our lives. That we don't print Merry Christmas on our card and merely leave Christ hidden in a manger somewhere. We have a yearning. We have a yearning to be with our God. And this is why I get a little bit confused by the opinion of some that describe the Episcopal Church as a, you know, progressive liberal church. As if that's a really bad thing. As if challenging any system that fosters oppression, or challenging decisions that make war, or ideas that perpetuate violence is anything other than following in the way of the prophets, of John the Baptist, of Jesus, of Desmond Tutu, of Michael Curry, of many of you here today. In 1988, our beloved parishioner Joy Goodenough, as well as Nancy Cleveland and Kay Goldberg, knew that they wanted, they yearned that every person in Magnolia would have the dignity to get the services that they needed. So they started a helpline. Their actions followed what they believed. And day by day, they changed the offices. They changed a little room under the offices in the basement into a full helpline. For 20 years, that ministry expanded way beyond this zip code and is what we now know as Queen Anne Helpline. And then Bob Boyd, he's an 8 o'clocker, and I got to roast him, really, at the 8 o'clock service here. So I'll give you a little snapshot just here, since has already worshipped. But he is our longest living ascension parishioner at this point now. So for 85 years, Bob, one of his ways that he leaned into his yearning toward God and toward himself and to be united with others around him is developing what we now know as the mission to seafarers here in the Port of Seattle, thinking about how can we develop and treat our neighbors and ourselves, all the people who come in, do they have rights? Do they not have rights? Are there lawyers? Are there medical care? And we have been partnering with that agency ever since. I can go on about Judy's life, the purpose of her life, or Carol's, or John's, or Ian's, Patty's. I can go on and on about many people here. I think that stirring it up is actually part of this parish's DNA. So on this Stirring Up Sunday, in the advent of God's coming, I think that we have ground to stand to proclaim that we do want to partner with God, to stir things up and let the Spirit provide the fire, provide the excitement. So I have to tell another favorite story. I apologize if you've heard this one before, but it's so good. You know, good stories are good stories. So a favorite story of mine is from Robert Fulghum, and it's a story about a Greek philosophy professor. And the story goes that it was his custom at the end of every single lecture to pause and say to his students, "Are there any questions?" It was often very quiet. But there was a day where a kind of angsty student raised his hand, and he was half joking, but he said, "Yes, what's the meaning of life?" The professor replied, "I will answer your question," and he pulled out this small mirror that he had in his pocket, and he told this story. "When I was a small child living in World War II, in the war, we were very poor and we lived in a remote village. And one day on the road, I found a broken piece of a mirror. It was a German motorcycle that had crashed and wrecked. And I tried to collect all the pieces from that mirror and I put them all back together, but it was impossible. But I kept the largest shard, this one. And by scratching on it and by rubbing it against stones, it eventually became round. I played with it like a toy. I became fascinated by the fact that I could take this object and I could reflect light from it. Then I developed a game that I could reflect light into dark places, so I'd find the corners and the crevices and the very, very darkest places I could find. It was a game, but I kept that mirror until, as I grew up, in idle moments I would play. But now that I'm a man, I realize that this is not just a game. I have come to understand that I am not the light, but a fragment of a mirror whose whole design I do not fully understand. Yet I know that I can use what's been given to me to reflect light in dark places. And maybe that changes something in someone. Perhaps other people will do likewise. This is what I'm about. This is the meaning of my life. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to the light. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. There is a parish of Church of the Ascension. 85 years ago, it came as a witness to the light. We are not the light, but we are here to testify to the light. My friends, we are part of this journey through the wilderness of becoming the physical actions of God. In this place, at this time, with these people. Shining light into situations and on people whose light might not otherwise have the chance to be shined upon. With our advocacy, with our letters, with our sharing of our wealth, with our sharing of our food, with our apologies, with our truth-telling. I've heard Bishop Rickle say several times that intent is never enough. If we want different results, if we don't want different results, we need to start thinking and feeling as Christ calls us to. We desire to have this one beautiful life be renewed and restored to God. This yearning is what stirs us up, if we let it. So in the expectation of the advent of Christ, Christ's coming into your life, into the interior of your soul, Christ's coming into this community and into the world, let us prepare for the truth that the Great One in the midst of us is the Holy One of God. Advent blessings to you all.